Welcome to All the Therapies.
We're two clinicians who try out different therapeutic practices
so you can find the right type of healing for you.
I'm Abby Crum.
I'm Mona E. Shaker.
And if you're enjoying this podcast, please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Thanks for joining us. Let's jump in now.
Welcome, everybody. So this is Ekta Agarwal. She's a conscious psychotherapist and crystal healer with a unique lens on resolving cultural duality. I'm so excited. You guys already heard my episode probably about doing a session of crystal healing with Ekta. I'm excited to have you here. So do you want to just tell us a little bit about yourself and your process?
Yeah, thank you so much, Abby and Mona, for having me here today. It's such an honor and privilege. I've been in the field for a little over 10 years, and my background is I'm South Asian. And so being a conscious psychotherapist and crystal healer, I've really been able to combine my love for my traditional Hinduism and spirituality into modern day science of psychotherapy. So a lot of my work is bringing energy work into the space, whether that's through crystals, through ketamine, other psychedelics, Reiki, and I combine all of that to ignite the inner healing intelligence and help people really tap into themselves, into their Shakti, which I call emotional intelligence.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So interesting. So you're a therapist, like you said, you have the traditional Western lens, and then you have your own cultural lens, and you utilize crystals as well. So how did you come to use this kind of like alternative methods of therapy in your practice?
Yeah, just as many of us, I went through my own healing journey, and I realized very early on that I was not ready to talk about my problems. And a lot of it is this idea of shame, especially with a lot of immigrants. There's this notion of needing to make it and present a certain way, even in front of your family and your peers, and not being able to fulfill those things and admitting it to yourself can be pretty shameful. I know I tried psychotherapy and I was there quiet and the therapist worked so hard with me, and it wasn't my modality of releasing and healing. So it wasn't until I discovered really meditative yoga and connecting back to my own religion and discovering the role spirituality plays in that religion and connecting all of these things together, including tapping into nature and the use of crystals. So crystals really gave me an opportunity to begin to face my pain and move towards it and really address the shame that I wasn't really ready to talk about. Yeah, it shined light into what's in my body and allowed that to come out and be able to activate it. And once I was able to heal my body, then I could really utilize the beautiful benefits of psychotherapy. Then I could really find my voice and use it in a graceful way to set boundaries with myself and with others and transform a lot of my pain to the power that I use today to guide others as a healer.
Yeah, we were talking about that and these kind of nonverbal forms of healing. And, because we're so used to talk therapy and that's like what's taught. And that was one of definitely the benefits I got out of my session. So we talked about that when I was talking through my session, and we just were saying before we jumped on that we're both talkers, And so, but it's like to talk to the pain sometimes is the difficult part. Like we can tell a story, but and it's so, I think there's something to that, nonverbal aspect. But I've had my own kind of just everyday experiences with crystals that I kind of talked about in the other episode. But can you talk about what you understand the properties of crystals to be and the healing properties?
Gosh, yeah, that feels like a pretty loaded question. And, it's because crystals have been around for centuries and have been part of this notion of Mother Earth. It's really, from my perspective, it is the foundation of strength and wisdom and healing from the time that we have been part of this. And even before that, when I think of crystals, I see them as mere extensions of that strength, of that wisdom, and of that healing that carry over. And when we place them on our bodies, when we interact with them, when we even just allow them to be in our auric field, in our energy field, it gives us a little bit of that healing in the sense that we tap into that strength and wisdom and healing that it already carries. So it is also, you know, I think on the other end of it, the duality of it is a reminder that there's beauty in struggle and everything in life is a duality. And that comes about the idea that for a crystal to be beautifully formed, it's got to go through really tough and rough situations to create this alignment. And very much like that, we all get to go through our challenges and our struggles and our healings to be able to be that strong, confident, pure form of love and light. So, you know, when we think about those understandings and the healing properties, it's really very subjective and very person-centered in that sense, because it contributes to our own potential, and our own potential is so different from person to person.
Yeah, I love the way you describe that. I've actually never heard of it described like that before. Right, like crystals, they are part of this earth and it's part of Mother Earth, and it sort of representing that in like a physical manifestation. And as humans, you know, we end up in the earth as well. I mean, there is something like really like cyclical and like connected there. Mm-hmm. And then that piece about the struggle of like, right, something so beautiful has to go through some sort of process that I'm sure has. So just like using the symbolic, anyways, it's just helpful for me because I kind of collect them. I like them. I like to hold them, but I don't really know much beyond just my internal intuition of like, they're beautiful and they feel nice when I hold them. So anyways, I really resonated with what you said of like, I want to start looking at it actually in that lens and sort of see if there's like another level to it. So I want to ask you a question. So I know you combine a lot of different types of modalities, but talking about crystals specifically, how would you describe like your practice, your modality, and maybe share a little bit about your process?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, I really like to meet a person where they really are at. And that's what makes me a conscious therapist. The modality really is this like person-centered, humanistic, and strength-based technique. So with crystals, what I get to do, I'm privileged to the ability to really tap into a person and take what they already have and bring that up to the surface for healing to really be amplified. So I want to, you know, in my practice, whether that's with crystals, whether that's with psychotherapy, with ketamine, I really like to emphasize the importance of being your true self in order to heal and lead a fulfilling life. And this allows us to see healing and to see therapy as a very individualistic process versus a process that we just get to tap into and it gets replicated over time. It also syncs very much to the idea of the notion of the inner healing intelligence, this idea that we all have what it takes inside of us to heal. So whether that's with crystals and having them amplify the healing through our seven chakras, or whether that's through ketamine and psychedelics and having us tap into our consciousness, our awareness to heal, or whether that's psychotherapy and pulling from the feelings from the very day that we're born and having those stack up and understanding those beliefs and allowing those to come forward and understand who we are. The healing always starts with us. And it's based on this really unique and looking at the world and seeing the impact that we have with our personal choices, our personal actions. So yeah, you know, in summary, the humanistic modality is this core belief that we are inherently good people and capable of making the choices that are right for ourselves. So I love to help people discover that.
Yeah.
You know, it's this team approach. I never want to be a conscious therapist where I'm an expert. I really am a guide. I guide you into finding what's best for you. And it's more of a team approach of discovering or rediscovering, should I say, the strengths a person already has inside of them.
That's one of the shifts I love from like past generations of therapy is that we're human. We're not, you know, experts or authorities, because there's just all that stuff that comes up when someone becomes an expert and authority. That's a whole process in itself. And I don't think it's true. Like, you know, we don't need to downplay our knowledge or our ability, but also nobody has all the answers, you know? because we've talked about this before, that you really like working with clients of color, Southeast Asian clients. So can you tell me a bit about what that means for you and like what's important about that work for you?
Yeah, you know, that's a very personal space for me to be able to serve in that area. I am South Asian myself and a person of color. And as I mentioned, when I was doing my own healing, I came across a lot of roadblocks. And so part of what I hope to do is resolve some of those roadblocks for people of color or even immigrants of color. You know, it's this idea of unintentionally feeling ununderstood and slightly disconnected from your therapist. This doesn't necessarily, you know, I do really want to emphasize that it's so unintentional. I think there's so many lovely therapists out there who go out of their way to be culturally competent. And yet that feeling of disconnection can still exist for a client.
Right.
So it's really resolving this idea of color, of history, of experience, of language, of values. And some of those things are a little bit hard to learn from a textbook, a little bit hard to communicate in session. So I'm really drawn to working with the Asian community and people of color as a way to resolve cultural duality. So cultural duality for me is this silent obligation or responsibility to your family, to your culture, to your traditions, to your peers. And that can really come into conflict with the world you live in, the Western world. And when those values are in conflict, sometimes it's hard to feel like you are aligned as a person. Mm-hmm. And it can cause a lot of confusion, sadness, anxiety, and all of these things are really happening so subconsciously that we may not be even aware of it.
Yeah.
And so really, you know, part of working with clients of color, it's to create some awareness around that. It's to be able to create some comfort around the richness and colorful traditions that they hold and an understanding of that. You know, I laugh even as I say this because I just think about being an expert in quote unquote the Indian culture, the Southeast Asian. And when we look at that, there's so many different cultures and traditions even within that. So it's really just setting a foundation and knowing that there's so much more learning as a therapist I get to do for my clients as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that definitely resonates with me. So I'm a child of immigrants and my first experiences in psychotherapy were with white practitioners. And again, it's like similar to what you were saying is like, you grow up always feeling othered, you know, like your family, wherever your family's from, you don't even fit in because you're American. And in school, you don't fit in with your American classmates. And so you're almost like suspended between these two cultures. You don't quite fit in. And some call it, I think they call it like a third culture. Like that is a culture in and of itself is having both, but that takes so much time to like get to that point. And so having a therapist, again, with even with great intentions, that feeling of otherness might still be there. Like, unless it's, I could say, like, maybe even actually identified in that moment with a therapist would be really powerful. But I think a lot of times it might not necessarily actually happen. And that just sort of contributes to that feeling of like not good enough, othered.
Yeah. You know, when I was in college, everyone kept calling all the Indian girls two-faced, including myself. And I couldn't understand what that meant. But it felt weirdly right. I would see this one person at home and then I'd go to school, go to the bathroom and change into a tank top and be another person.
Same. Oh my gosh. Same.
Yeah. And then you like, you graduate and it's this like reality check of, wait, who am I really? The person at home, the person at school, everything in between. So yeah, that other just, I really resonate how you described that. I fit into that other.
Yeah. I mean, before we move on, I definitely had an extra pair of clothes at school in my backpack. The first thing I'd go rush to the bathroom and then I'd be kind of who I want to be that day. But I want to ask, so again, you pull from a lot of different modalities. And then I love that internal like intelligence, that like internal wisdom that you tap into. So what is your personal understanding of healing? Like, how does healing work?
Yeah. So, you know, for me, healing is this idea of Shakti. Shakti is that inner healing intelligence, the emotional willpower, emotional intelligence. A lot of times when we talk about the word intelligence or willpower, it's a very intellectualized process, which is part of the third eye. And just as important, we also need to be able to understand the emotional intelligence, which is part of the solar plexus chakra. And that's where creativity, wisdom, motivation really drives from. So for me, Shakti is this energy. It's a primordial force that's in all of us, and it's bounded by creativity, sustainability, and destruction. Again, sustainability and destruction are those dualities of life that we have to, that we get to go through, should I say. And when we tap into this unwavering part of ourselves, we begin to show up differently in the world. We begin to feel aligned, authentic. And when that person shows up, the relationships that we have, the judgments that we hold, the values that we hold, they all begin to shift. And so for me, when I think about the process of healing, it's really, it's this shift that we get to go through, and you get to observe life in a different way. I think a good way to understand Shakti, or the power of it, is that energy through the rush of a river that crashes against the rocks. You know, it could be the striking connections of the fire when your neurons are activated, or even the power of just a deep, slow, intentional breath and what it can do to your anxiety, your stress, your day, and how it can shift that with so much depth in just that one moment.
So
you know, the goal of my practice really is to help awaken the Shakti in each person. And that healing process begins when you unfold the Shakti in its own natural timeline for everyone. And that process at the end allows you to really ignite that happiness, that joy, that love, and all those life's greatest gifts that we want to manifest, that we want to live. And when we can come from those spaces of power, from those spaces of joy, then we begin to transform the traumas and transition them from pain to resilience. And your goals just automatically shift, and your priorities do. And you begin to deeply transform how you relate to yourself, and ultimately then just the world that we live in.
Yeah. Something that stands out is like that idea of depth, because I think obviously like it's now big to do breathing and meditation and all these things. But again, it sometimes gets so diluted. And so, you know what I mean? Again, sometimes there's a benefit. Like if all you can get in is a minute, great. You know, like that's more than maybe you could do yesterday. But, and because we want answers now and quick, it's like to take that time to do the depth process. Like a lot of people, that's a struggle just in therapy, is to like actually, but it's not happening yet, you know, but it's not happening now. But that is part of the healing process, I think, is to take these things a little deeper.
Yeah. And I think the beauty, you said it so well, the beauty of therapy really is that 15 minutes that you're there, that's yours. You are taking that time. And if you can take a breath in that, great. If you can be vulnerable, great. If you just show up, great.
Yeah.
And all of that gets to unfold over time as we begin to feel more comfortable and more open and safe in our own skins.
Yeah. And so who would you say is like the ideal client for the type of work you do, working with crystals? Do you think it's just pretty much anyone can start there, or what would you suggest?
Yeah. So with crystals, it really is an intuitive process. It is this idea, you know, we get two types of folks. Folks who are excited and want to experiment, and they've heard how cool crystals are. And I think that's how I began too, right? So you explore this childlike curiosity, and you go in and you see what happens, and either you're drawn to it or you're not. And that's okay. And totally. Other folks, you know, I get this large group of spiritual community where they've been working with nature and Mother Earth and crystals and chakras, and want to be able to amplify that. So the type of client really is anyone who is curious to, quote unquote, tapped in, whatever that means for each person. So that's with the crystals. In terms of just generally my practice, my ideal client is really folks who identify as millennials all the way to their late 40s, but it's really this person who feels like they've put in 110% in everything that they're doing and who they are. And yet there's this small voice, a small piece inside of them that continues to make them feel unfulfilled, unworthy. And that voice that just keeps going that it's not enough, you're not happy. And it's trying to resolve that. And, you know, as we talked about also clients of color, I'm very deeply passionate about that and kind of breaking the stigmas and moving that energy forward for them.
And what would you say is a typical session like for you? Do you do like a consultation session first, just to like gauge sort of interest in like the different modalities? What would be a typical session?
Yeah, each session is very unique to the client. And really, you know, because I am humanistic and client-centered, every session is really focused on what the client needs in that day and time. Before a person becomes my client, we do a 15, 20-minute complimentary consultation. And this really is an opportunity. It's the first opportunity for the client to build trust with me. So it allows me to be present, to hold space for them, and to be able to understand what type of healing that they're looking for. I do share all the different modalities at this time, very well knowing that 15, 20 minutes is so small and all of this information can be deeply overwhelming. So really the first session, which many people call the assessment, but the first session or two is a chance for us to go a little bit deeper, deeper into where they're at with their feelings, with their awareness, and exploring their openness to the different modalities. When folks come in for traditional psychotherapy, and they are open to the other modalities, such as crystal healing, I have the ability to take the different modalities and plug them into traditional psychotherapy. So that way it doesn't feel like it's only a crystal healing session. And as they begin to build more trust with these stones, with these crystals, then we can even move into one day where it's only a crystal healing session and the psychotherapy is an addition to that. So it really, really varies from person to person. I think with crystals, it's such an intuitive thing and you have to be able to feel like you can trust yourself and trust the stone. So that process does take some time.
So do you ever like say anything to someone who's on the fence? Like, do, you know, if someone's on the fence, what would you typically say to them?
Yeah. So, you know, for me, healing is an art, which means crystals are a form of art. It takes time. It takes practice. And most importantly, it takes love. Part of that is love from a therapist. The other part is love for yourself as a client. So a lot of times I talk to the person about really trusting the process and trusting their self, bringing really this like childlike curiosity into play. A lot of times, you know, when we come to this healing modality, we really bring the archetype of a warrior. We want to fix it. We want to be our best self. That's great. And sometimes we also need to be able to bring a little bit of that curiosity and that lover and that compassionate side and know that healing is a process. So I really encourage them to trust themselves. And if now is not the right time, that's okay, because everything you need, you will get, and it'll unfold at the right time. So it's really very much a non-pressure space. For a person to really benefit from the crystals, they need to feel ready for it.
That makes sense. And I feel like that ties right back to that like inner intelligence you were talking about. If it's not resonating, if it's not fitting just yet, again, like we're turning the tables a bit. They're the expert in their own lives. And if it's not the good fit right now, or if it is, maybe there is that curiosity. Because I think a lot of times we do that judgment thing of, you know, once we become adults, we start to judge our inner child's curiosity. It's too childish, it's silly, or it's not, you know, but actually giving yourself that opportunity to like let that shine a little bit. Yeah.
And there's beauty in that, you know, as adults, we almost lose that childlike play, and it's healing doesn't have to always be tough. It could be fun. It could be silly, and it could be magical in its own way.
Totally. Yeah. I say my favorite times in therapy is like when we just like both crack up about something that is like one of my favorite things. Awesome. And then, yeah. So how can people find you? Social media, website?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm very active on my Instagram, which is at Shakti Therapy, S-H-A-K-T-I, and then therapy, T-H-E-R-A-P-Y. I put a lot of tips up, a lot of videos. You can always send me a message if you have a question, you're going through a hard day. And of course, my website, www.shaktitherapyhealing.com. You'll find lots of blog posts that support you and even a new program I just recently started, which is managing COVID PTSD and how to reintegrate back into the world and, you know, bringing this new version of ourselves in this new normal world that we're in and learning to interact with folks. So whatever way, whether it's a phone number, an email, reach out and I'm happy to support you in turning your struggles into strengths.
That's awesome. Wow, that whole COVID PTSD, I feel like that could be a whole nother episode. So we'll see, maybe in a future episode. But well, thank you so much for being here. It was lovely talking with you. And we'll put everything in the show notes so that you can find Ekta if you want to work with her or learn more.
Great. Thank you so much for having me here today, Mona and Abby. It was such a privilege. And I'll look forward to a future discussion on COVID PTSD.
Yes. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks again for joining us.
Check out our show notes to learn more about this episode and to find all the ways to follow us.
And remember, if you're curious, try it.